Welcome to the City Life Podcast. This podcast is here as a resource to journey together, connecting where you can, whenever you can, in your everyday. Enjoy listening, be encouraged to share, be inspired, and be blessed as you do so.
Welcome to the City Life Podcast. This week is going to sound a little bit different in your ears. We are carrying on as part of our series exploring the presence of God. But this week we are looking at creative expressions, and we're going to hear from a number of people in the family about how they experience the presence of God through creative expression. And there is also, alongside this podcast, there's a companion guide which you can find, which is going to be able to, you're going to be able to read people's contributions or have a look at them, see what they've been doing. You can find that, the most easy way to find that is by going to our app, our Church Centre app, by clicking from the homepage, clicking on resources, and then scrolling down to recommended resources, where creative expressions will be one of the options for you, and the link to the booklet is in there. You can also go to our website, where for a time the link is going to be up on in our study. So you'd go to the, you'd find in the top right hand corner there's a drop down menu, and in our home you'd navigate to the study, and in the study under podcast there'll be a link there as well for a while. Okay, so putting this podcast together, I am acutely aware that as a people, our creative expressions are by no means limited to the things that we have captured just in this podcast here. This is a really small picture of how it really is. And also that the presence of God brings creativity in all areas of our lives all the time, each day. And if you would be up for chatting with me on our podcast about how God collaborates with you on the daily, I would love that. Please get in touch with me via my email, which will be in the description on this episode, however you listen to your podcasts. So, let's crack on. I really hope that you enjoy the contributions that you're going to hear today. My prayer is that it really inspires you in your own day-to-day life, living with the presence of God.
Thanks for the opportunity to contribute to this podcast on God's presence. This picture is of the lakes at Eastleigh in the country park there. It was taken on an early morning walk in December of last year. There's a quotation, "Morning is wonderful. Its only drawback is that it comes at such an inconvenient time of day." Now, that may be true, but I've always found it worth the inconvenience. For me, sunrises and first lights have a special significance. It's where I go when I'm confused, if I'm in pain, grieving for a loss, and also it's where I go to be inspired. Sunrises are, for me, sort of hope-filled, grace-filled moments. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Scripture has some wisdom on this. Lamentations 3. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Joy comes in the morning." Psalm 30. When it comes to that sort of what place my relationship with God has with my art, I always end up sort of thinking, as at least a start point to answer the question, sort of the Eric Liddell, The Runner, and the film Chariots of Fire, where it's a question that sort of comes up through the film, you know, why is he so fast? And the answer that comes out as the film goes on and gets answered several ways at several times is that's just God had made him fast. And when he ran, he just felt that he was doing what God had created him to do. And he took great pleasure from that. There's something of that in the way that I feel when I draw. I think God has made me creative. I think actually that's probably true of all of us to a greater or lesser extent. And I guess there is that sort of sense that I'm doing what God created me to do when I'm drawing, when I'm painting, when I'm using those creative gifts. It has more to do with just being the way God created me to be rather than any specific involvement in the piece of work that I'm doing.
I find I get so excited about the presence of God in creativity because I think when we find our creative selves, it automatically draws us closer to the presence of God because he is Creator Father. So, and I have read things recently, you know, books that I've shared with people saying if we will just find our childlike selves and give space to that, that we will automatically again draw closer to our Creator. And when we're closer to him, then he can speak to us and give us his reflections and stimulation and inspiration. So that's what I find. But I sometimes find as well, though, that the times when I feel more creative and there's times when I don't feel creative. And I know there's people who think they're not creative at all. So I thought I might just share something that happened whilst I was just going up to London the other day. And wasn't feeling particularly creative. In fact, I felt like I had the winter blues somewhat, and the train was cancelled and I'd had to run to another platform, blah, 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 blah. And I just looked out the window of the train as we went by, and just thought, God, I just really need you to speak to me and I want your presence. And took out my PC because I find writing is the way to focus myself on what God might be doing or saying. And if I start to write, it feels like I'm giving him something to invade. So I think if we give God anything that he can fill, he can start to fill it. So it doesn't have to be perfect in any way, but he can start to fill it. So I just started to write down, today I've got the wintry blues. That was my first line. And then I noticed the sun was just really breaking out on what was quite a wintry day. But the sun was really breaking out and it just was highlighting things. And all the scenery around was just being highlighted in different ways. And I started to look at that and it became a little story about that. It became essentially a prayer. And I felt that God invaded that really and helped me say it as a prayer. So these were the words that I wrote. Today I've got the wintry blues, but God has sent his sun to light up the day. Falling on the cars in the car park at the station, making them gleam like knights in shining armour. The trees along the way still wearing their winter clothes, their every last branch and twig highlighted, giving their budded ends a tinge of pink that stands out against a sky of blue upon which marshmallow clouds float. Silver-white birch trunks with their black striations stand tall and proud, the zebras of our tree world, herding together and putting on a display. Ivy, like garlands of emeralds, entwined around other trees, ensuring they are adorned as their more glamorous friends. Strings of houses with sparkling windows light up like bejeweled necklaces, the natural and man-made, he shines upon them. Without favourites, he blesses them all. They don't strive for his attention or have to earn his grace. He freely pours it out, whether they notice or not. Here, within the confines of this railway carriage, I notice, I lean in, I yearn. Light me up, Father, light me up. And then afterwards, I'll often look up a scripture about, okay, Lord, give me a scripture about light. Now I've written about that. And I found myself in Psalm 18:28, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light, or my wintry blues into something more summery. So, and it also says in Psalm 44:3, by their own sword they did not possess the land and their own arm did not save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favoured them. So for me, you know, just writing and feeling God invade that and just watching what he was doing in the world, which might have just been for me that day or it might have been for everybody, but just noticing enabled him to reach me in that place and bring the light through. And that's what I think creativity can do. And we just have to start small. Just give him a line. just a very honest line if we're writing, or maybe just an honest stroke on a page if we're doing something else. But I think if we just trust him to minister to us through whatever it is we're observing at the time, or thinking at the time, or listening to at the time, then he will do that. And it certainly made the day a better one. So that's my thoughts on creativity. I don't know if there's anything else really to bring, other than it doesn't have to be perfect. I found this little verse that was actually written by Morgan Harper Nichols, who does wonderful creative writing and drawings. And you can see her on Pinterest or other places. She does lovely books. But she just wrote this little thing that said, "What you create does not have to be perfect to bring a sense of peace." And that's what I found that day. Didn't start off terribly well. Sorry, God, I've got the wintry blues, but in it, it took me on a journey, and there was peace and light at the end of it. So that's my testimony.
So this is a poem I've written called Meditative Pathways. So I'll begin. Clouded journey, shrouded in sin. Take time, my love. Allow the quiet in and be still. Do not concentrate on anything. Simply see what surrounds you. See it in new light, as newborn eyes and mind, comprehending afresh. Consider only what you see, not how it belongs or where it is going. Consider not any analysis, but a step-by-step observation. Acknowledge only what you see. In these naive thoughts, through those newborn eyes, I will bring you with me, showing you my peaceful path. Passing wretched wickedness, steadfast and certain is my way. I will not hide from you, neither will I ignore the chaos and pain that catches your curiosity. Only when your eyes are firmly fixed on me and your ears tuned in to my voice, will I allow the shields and barriers to stand down. At that time, no chaos or pain will be drawn to you. You will be magnetic for my spirit and repel evil with your every breath, because your breath speaks praise to me, your tongue a vessel of change for kingdom come. Be sure to keep your eyes fixed on me. Wandering off my path does not need to lead to death. Fix your eyes on me and I will show you the route to take. Do this and you will be confident of who I am in you. Your husband, your lover, your creator. Nothing is more perfect than the love I have for you. When you doubt it, when you become distracted, when you are fearful, fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on me, and fix your eyes on me. So it sort of came from various talks and readings I'd heard and read about being still. And I know at City Life we've definitely had a lot of focus on that in the past, and it's really important in terms of being close to God. And in the Bible, we have a lot of instruction about being still in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God, which we all know. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And what Moses tells the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you and you have only to be silent. And again in Psalms, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So we know that it's important to be still, and I found that really difficult. That's not really me. I like to be busy and distracted, and yeah, being still is a real discipline and not one I'm totally comfortable with. But in difficult times, I've done a lot of mindfulness and as a therapeutic guide, sort of it's kind of meditative to the advice a lot of people give about just being still and focusing. In terms of the practical, what you actually do you do it, how do you be still? And a lot of advice is just thinking about literally what's in front of you, or say you're eating, just thinking, what does this food taste like? What does it feel like on my tongue? So literal descriptions, and trying only to think about those things, which is a bit strange, but actually it's quite effective. And again, I find it really difficult to just sit and be still and hear from God. I do find it easier to be doing things. So I do a lot of prayer walking, and I find in prayer walking, and trying to focus on God, I've found that God shows me literal and figurative pathways. And I think when I wrote this poem, I'd just been on a prayer walk and felt God literally showing me which way to go. I just was walking in fields and said, God, just take me. You know, do I go left, right this bit? And I felt a bit foolish, and sometimes I have to sort of talk out loud to try and get rid of other thoughts. I found in terms of practicing stillness and listening to God, I thought I'd use the technique, the sort of mindfulness technique about naming things and being literal in terms of practical, the reality of being, of practicing stillness. So, yeah, I just found I was just naming things and repeatedly asking God for his words and his eyesight, sort of saying, that's a tree. Oh, that's a grass, that's a piece of grass. And not analysing it or thinking anything about it, who walked here before, or what's beyond this, just literally trying to remove those thoughts and going, that is a daffodil, that is, and just saying, God, what are you trying to show me in this? And it's a really hard discipline, but actually, as I say, I think found it really effective and found that God speaks to me in that. And even when it is hard and I do get distracted, a lot of the time I'd think, gosh, that's so beautiful. That's so gorgeous. Look at that. And it just sort of, I don't know, I guess there's also a sense of being in around nature and creation and just being able to say, wow, God made that intentionally. And then I find that God really speaks. And in trying to clear the mind, even if you can't, I think just keeping on trying means that God does actually speak in quite an overwhelming manner, in the thoughts that pop into your head, what we end up noticing. So just noticing that, oh gosh, that's beautiful, whilst it seems like a distraction, actually it might be that God's saying, look at this, if I've made this, can you imagine, you know, the intricacies of you and what I've made in you. And just thinking about how it feels, what that then makes us think of. Anyway, this poem is just one of those journeys of understanding how to, or just trying to be still in God's presence, and the beauty of it and the discipline of it and the sort of almost like repetitive nature of it, just saying, keeping on telling myself, do not be distracted, listen, God, what do you want to tell me in this, what do you want to tell me? And that's why I think I've repeated a few times in the poem, fix your eyes on me and fix your eyes on me.
Mm.
Hi everyone, Joy here. I know that many of you know that I go out and take photographs. I turn them into cards and calendars and all sorts of things. And I know I've spoken before about how I feel that that is something that really brings me into the presence of God. And I wanted just to explain a little bit more about why that works for me and how. And I'm just going to quote, it's a well-known part of a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries. That verse has always meant an awful lot to me because I think it's developed into a prayer that I wouldn't miss what God is doing, that I would take time to stop and notice. And I think like many of us, life is very busy and filled with all sorts of things that we need to do, but that there is an essential part of actually looking for God in the everyday. For me, I found that in the photography, but I also find it in other creative things that I do. Not because necessarily the things that I'm producing are creative, but because it's about the slowing down, the stopping, the looking. And one of the things I like about photography is I like the real macro stuff. I like the stuff that actually possibly goes beyond knowing what it is, to just looking at the patterns, to looking at light and shade, to looking at all the different colours and textures that are in things. Because I think when I look really small, it reminds me of the God who is really big. And I know I did a podcast once about magnifying the Lord, which doesn't mean about making him bigger. It just means recognising who he is. And so I'm sharing a few of my photos, not the ones that probably make it to the cards, but the ones that mean things to me, where I've just stopped and said, God, you are amazing. What you do is so wonderful and so beautiful. And so I just encourage you. It may not be nature for you. It may be something else, but just to stop and see. And I love the reference of taking off the shoes, of recognising holy ground and just acknowledging that God is in the space. And it's not that actually God says a lot to me in these times. It's more just about knowing God is with me. And so currently I'm doing a bit of weaving, and as I sit and as I weave and as I put the colours together, I think about the God who created me and who's continuing to recreate me, to change me, to make me more like him. And I think every little bit of creativity I do is helpful to me in thinking about who he is.
Hi everyone. So Vicky has asked me to talk a bit about when I'm writing poetry, how, if and how I feel like I hear from God in that time. One thing I would say is that whatever I've thought beforehand, once I actually put pen to paper, I really feel like the Holy Spirit just comes on board then and quite honestly just hijacks a lot of the poems, and sometimes they just come out completely different to what I was expecting. But I do feel like he has had a hand in, well, more than a hand, that, you know, he has taken over what it is that I've wanted to say. So I've got a poem here today, and it's a good example of this, because last August, a good friend of ours who had been our choir leader for years had been told that she only had a few months to live. And for the last session that we were all going to be together, people were invited to do some kind of turn. You know, a lot of people sang a song or whatever, and I said that I would bring a poem. And I really, really wanted it to be something that would speak to her and others about the opportunity that we have to receive salvation. So I was just asking God about it, and I had a picture of surfers, and I just thought, what on earth? Like, what has this got to do with, you know, writing this poem about salvation? But as I started to write it again, I just felt like the Holy Spirit took over, and I shall read you what came out of it. So this is called The Waves of Life. In the dream, I gazed out over the ocean. Billions of colourful surfers rode the waves, enjoying the exhilaration of riding on a crest. Then sometimes the shock of being knocked off balance, plunging beneath the surface, not knowing which way is up, a tangle of arms and legs, unable to breathe, until at last a head shoots up through the surface and there's a gasp for air. "This is life," said the voice. "The highs and the lows, the feelings of euphoria, feeling indestructible, then the harsh reminder that we lose balance, lose control, are so vulnerable." Some spent most of their time riding the waves, reaching for the sky. Others spend more time below the surface. The voice sounded sad, as though grieving for those struggling. "So, who are you? Some kind of lifeguard?" I thought he wasn't doing a very good job with so many plunging the depths. "Kind of." There was a hint of mirth in the voice. A pause. "I'm the rescuer." "But you're not rescuing, aren't I? Who puts their feet back on the ground? Who lifts their head above the water? So it's always you?" "No. Some want to go it alone, prove their strength. I rescue those who ask." Another pause as I considered this. Looking out at the sea of humanity and the noise, the voices, the crash of the waves, the call of the gulls. How on earth do you know who's asking? I hear their hearts, or the hearts of those who care for them. Again, I considered the scene. Children splashing in the shallows, shouting and laughing, blissfully unaware that one day they too would ride the waves of life. Some looking forward, thinking how easy it looked. A few more fearful. I looked at the surfers, a literal sea of colours. There were some who looked a little more bland, almost without colour. But then, as I looked closer, I saw that their colours were on the inside, rippling through them like coloured lights. But you did need to look closer. Back to the question in hand. "Do they surf the waves of life forever?" "No." A chuckle. "That would be way too hard." "So what happens?" "I rescue them. All of them. Those who ask me." "What if they don't know who you are?" "I make sure they know." "And the children?" "They all know me. They haven't been here long enough to forget where they came from." Another chuckle. With a warmth that made me think of being wrapped in a fluffy towel, a flask of hot tea ready and waiting. At last, I felt able to turn away from the scene, safe in the knowledge that there is a rescuer.
So I'm going to share this poem to just give you a little glimpse into my creative process and how God and I write poems together. I know that sounds a bit crazy or maybe a bit super spiritual, but I really do mean that up until a couple of years ago, I wasn't really the kind of person that wrote poetry. And then I just felt God I don't know, speak very clearly that was the way he wanted to talk to me and how he wanted to help me process the things I was thinking about. And I want to share this poem because it's a bit of a silly one, really, but I think the poems that God and I write together, sometimes they're for me and helping me process what I'm thinking, and they've been really helpful for doing that. But a lot of times, and particularly more recently, they're written for other people, or they're certainly inspired by events that are happening and things that I want to spend some time mulling over and trying to work out how I actually feel about that situation or about that person. And so this particular poem I wrote because I was inspired by my hairdresser. I'd just had an appointment with him, and I just felt very strongly that I wanted to encourage him in his particular gifting, which is to do amazing haircuts. And I worried a little bit that I feel like maybe he didn't know that he was good at what he did, or how sitting in his hairdressing chair made people feel. So I kind of came home and I just started jotting stuff down, and I invited God in and into that process, and between us I feel we kind of really captured what it was that I wanted to tell my hairdresser. So the poem is called This Chair. You welcome me to this chair. I settle myself down and we talk about my hair. We hatch a plan and the work begins to transform tired locks, enhancing the beauty within. And I feel myself relax, grateful for this safe place where no demands are made of me and no expectations jostle for space. Then my favourite part begins. We talk and ponder, share random stories and news, considering life in all its technicolor. And before I know it, my time in this chair is done, and I walk out thinking that this kind of therapy is way more fun. And I finished it, and I put a photo with it, and I sent it to him. And then I waited, wondering if there was going to be a response. And then I realised actually that wasn't really what it was about, that the poem was the gift, and it was his to do with whatever he liked. But a day later he did respond, and I think he found it really moving. But I did feel a sense of thinking, well, actually, I don't need to worry now about how he's received that or not. I felt prompted to write it. I felt it was important that he knew what his gifting was. And, that's what we're called to do, isn't it? As Christians, we're called to call out the gifting in others when we see it, to say it. And that's what I'd done. And I loved doing it. And I loved the process of writing that for him. And I love that's I guess that's one of the things I really love about writing poems, that it's I love the process, but I love gifting it on to others, and then trusting that it will speak to their hearts however it needs to speak to them. So think about that next time you're in your hairdresser's chair or having your nails done or something like that. Ask God what he wants you to say to that person, if there's anything prompting that he wants to prompt you to say to them. I encourage you to do it. Poem or just an encouraging word. Yeah.
So there we go. That's all we've got time for on this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you've been blessed by the things you've heard and the whole spectrum of how God speaks to us and how he is engaged in collaboration with us through all these creative expressions. So like I said, if you want to have a go, if you want to chat to me on the podcast about creativity or about anything to do with the presence of God, I would love to hear from you. The last thing I'd say is, when you share something that's yours that you've written, I think sometimes we don't always appreciate that you actually put yourself in a bit of a vulnerable position. So if you've listened to the podcast and you've enjoyed hearing people's contributions. I would really encourage you, if you can figure out who they are by their voice, or if you want to have a look at the companion guide to this, I would really encourage you to just give some feedback to those people, to value them and to let them know that it's not a little thing that they've done in sharing their work, which sometimes is very, very personal. And so, yeah. Or if you want to send me feedback and I can pass things on to people, I'd be really happy to do that as well. So bless you, and thank you for listening. Bye.